Okay, thank you very much. Well, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers, Monique, Tom, and Stefan, and for inviting me and everybody at the Fields Institute. And well, I have to say that I'm very happy to be here as well, because I can see my boss, the boss of my boss, my previous professors when I was studying here or working at Algorithmics. So hope you enjoy this. The time of my presentation is time change macro processing. Here's the first typo is unified credit equity modeling. And this is a joint work with Vadim Linetsky, who was my advisor, and with Peter Carr. So let me start. First of all, I have to warn you that my presentation is very colorful. So please, if you have questions about the colors, I'll be happy to answer. But anyway, let me start with some literature review and start with the option pricing literature. So we all know that the Black-Scholes Merton model uses the geometric Brennan motion as their underlying, as a process for their underlying of the stock price. However, as we know, the geometric Brennan motion is an infinite lifetime process, meaning that it doesn't have an absorbent state, so therefore we cannot model bankruptcy under this specification. In fact, another assumption in the Black-Scholes Merton model is that we have constant volatility and we don't have jumps. The consequences of this is that we cannot replicate the volatility smiles that we observe in the market. Okay? Now, many of you have worked in a newer generation of models in order to solve this part of the problem. Basically, the volatility smiles, how to replicate the volatility smiles. And some of these models are related to local volatility models, which is the CEV process, for example, or the Dupuyer model. We have also stochastic volatility models, as the Heston and the Saber model. We have jump diffusion models, as in Merton or Ku. And pure jump models based on Levy processes, such as the variance gamma and the NIG or the CGMY model, right? Now, what is the obvious problem with this is that it ignores the possibility of bankruptcy of the underlying firms, okay? So, and as we know and we have experience in real world, firms have a positive probability of bankruptcy, okay? On the other hand, I'm going to focus on the literature of credit risk, in particular in the reduced firm framework, okay, where we model default with an intensity, a default intensity, okay? And there's a lot of work being done after the work of Duffy and Singleton, Yarrow, Landham, and Turnbull, okay? Most of been there for a long time, so everybody's familiarized with it. And the purpose of these models is basically to model credit default events, credit spreads, or credit derivatives. But the problem with this is that they ignore the information of the available in the stock options markets. So we can see that there is a very marked disconnection between the credit literature and the stock option literature. And that's where we're going to focus ourselves. It's like, how can we unify these two modeling setups? Okay? To motivate, I would like to talk about Lehman Brothers, more from graphical observations here. Before 2 weeks before bankruptcy, Lehman Brothers' stock price was $16.13, and I have it marked in this line. So before these 2 weeks, we can observe the path of Lehman Brothers' stock price. And what we can see here is that it is quite a regular path. So we have some jumps here and there, and we can claim that there is some stochastic volatility there, right? But what happens after 2 weeks, already within 2 weeks? So we can see much larger jumps. And these jumps are towards zero, towards default. And at default, after that, we can observe that the stock price is basically worthless, okay, a few cents. The other thing I want to observe here is the volatility smiles. So as we can see, for the short-term contracts, we have a very much higher volatility than for longer contracts. And we can see a very downward sloping curve for the smiles. So what we have here is that the options, here is the implied volatility for put options. We have to model the very steepened volatility smiles, and we have to model a term structure, well, a surface. Now, another observation is that from the beginning of the year until September 2nd in 2008, the stock price dropped 72%. From $62.19 to $16, right? Can we say that this is this give us a clue for default? Well, one can claim that in general all the market was going down, right? However, something interesting is the upper interest in put contracts. For very low strike prices, such as $2.5, we can see that contracts on maturing 200 days or 500 days, there were already 1,500 contracts open or 1,700 contracts open. So there was already some activity for low strikes, which means that what we want to interpret is that investors were already thinking on bankruptcy for Lehman Brothers, and they were hedging their positions, right? So what we claim is that put options provide default protection. In particular, deep out-of-the-money contracts are essentially credit derivatives, which closes the link between equity and credit products, right? We believe that pricing equity derivatives should take in consideration the possibility of bankruptcy of the underlying firm. And in fact, we believe that the possibility of default contributes to the volatility skew in the stock options. Okay, so that's what we're planning to do. So we're trying to unify this equity and credit modeling because we believe it should be modeled under the same framework, right? In order to get consistent pricing across credit and equity derivatives and have consistent risk management and hedging. And our goal is to create analytically tractable models that would allow us to improve pricing, calibration, and hedging. And we focus in the analytical tractability of these models because we decide to compute, to have fast computation of prices, risks, and calibration. So what we are doing here is we're not interested in a particular model, but in a framework that will work for any specification. So what we are doing is introduce a new class of analytical tractable credit equity models. We are going to focus on a particular example or a specific model, but what we're interested in is in the framework. Okay, our model architecture is based on applied random time changes to Markov diffusion processes to create new processes with the properties we're looking at, such as jumps, stochastic volatility, and default. We model the stock price as a time change Markov process with the state dependent jumps, with the stochastic volatility and default intensity. And what we're presenting here is that for the first time in literature, we have state dependent jumps that will exhibit the leverage effect, meaning that as the stock price drops, the arrival rate for larger jumps increases. And as the stock price rises, the arrival rate of larger jumps decrease. In our model architecture, time changes of diffusions have the following effects. If we have a Levy subordinator time change, it will induce jumps with a state-dependent Levy measure, including the possibility of a jump to default. And if we further use a time integral of an activity rate process, this would allow us to have a stochastic volatility of the diffusion dynamics, the Levy measure itself, and the default intensity. Okay? Now, before going into time changes, I would like to give a brief review on jump to default extended diffusions. Okay? On jump to default extended diffusions, what we're basically assuming is the so-called absolute priority, that on an event of default, the stockholders do not receive any recovery at that point, right? So therefore, we have what is called a defaultable stock price, which is equal to a pre-default stock process, STLE, if default defined by zeta here is occurs after the current time t, or is equal to zero because of this assumption if default occurs prior to current time t. So the pre-default stock dynamics for this process under an equivalent martingale measure is given by this stochastic differential equation, where mu is the drift, which is the difference between the constant drift, which is the difference between the short rate minus dividend. Sigma is a state-dependent volatility. And H is the default intensity, which is also state-dependent. We have we have to put the default intensity on the drift in order to compensate for the jump to default and ensure a discounted martingale. Okay. Now, default, if the diffusion, the pre-default process can hit the level zero, at that moment, we will declare bankruptcy. At the first hitting time of the level zero, we will declare bankruptcy. However, this is not the only way default can occur because we have a default intensity. So before it hits time zero, before it hits zero at time tau zero, default can also arrive at the first jump time of a doubly stochastic Poisson process with default intensity given by H. Okay, the first time this process exceeds an exponential random variable. At that moment, the stock price jumps to zero and we kill the process. So we send to a cemetery state, and from that time on, the stock price is equal to zero. Okay. So therefore, the default time is the earliest of the following events. Either the stock price hits a level zero at time tau zero, or the stock price jumps to zero from a positive value at time zeta tilde, and that is our default. Now, once we have set up the stock price, we have to see how can we price contingent claims. And the first one we have to look at is the risk-neutral survival probability. This survival probability is a probability of not observing a default by time t, nor by a jump to default, nor by a diffusion to the level zero. Right? And once we have the survival probability, we can start creating instruments such as the defaultable zero coupon bond, which is a discounted dollar if no default occurs prior to maturity, or a discounted recovery amount R if default occurs before maturity, where R the recovery is taken as a fraction of dollar paid at maturity. Obviously, defaultable bonds with coupons are valued as portfolios of these zero coupon bonds. A call option has the same intuition. The call option is going to be is equal to the call payoff function if default doesn't occur not by a jump, not by a diffusion to the level zero. Now, more interesting is the put payoff, because the put payoff can be split into two terms. The first term is the traditional put payoff function if not default occurred by time t, by maturity, plus a recovery amount k equal to the strike price if default occurs before maturity. Now, the recovery amount is equal to the strike price because of our assumption of absolute priority. Therefore, the put price is the discounted expectation of this term, which is the put payoff if no default occurs, plus a default claim if default occurs before maturity. So the put itself has already a default claim embedded. No, it's paid at, in this setup, it's paid at maturity, at T. It's a model assumption. Okay. I'll show you another example in which the payoff is paid at default time. Okay. Now, so far we have seen how to build contingent claims given a jump to default extended diffusion. And what we want to do now is focus in a particular model. In this case, I'm going to use the jump to default CEV process, which is modeled by Carr and Linetsky in 2006, where the volatility is a CEV type volatility, which is a power function of the stock price, and the default intensity is an affine function of variance, right? A is the scale parameter. Beta here is the volatility elasticity parameter, which is negative. B is a constant default intensity, and C is the sensitivity of default to the default intensity to variance. When C and B is equal to zero, the JDCEV process reduces to the classical CEV process, the standard CEV process. Okay. This model has the following properties, which is consistent with the leverage effect. When the stock price drops, because beta is negative, it will increase the volatility. And since it increases the volatility, it will increase our default intensity as well. Right? So basically, what we can see is that when the stock price drops, it will increase the volatility and also our likelihood to default. Here's an example for this jump to default CEV process, which is pricing equity default swaps. An equity default swap is very similar to a credit default swap because it's a credit type instrument which brings protection in case of a credit event. What are the credit events in this model? Well, either the reference entity defaults or the reference stock price drops significantly. And significantly is to a barrier level, we can say 30% of the stock price at inception of the contract. The similarity with a CDS is that the protection buyer makes periodic premium payments on exchange of protection in case of a credit event. The protection seller pays a recovery amount, 1 minus R, for each dollar of principal at the credit event time if the event occurs prior to maturity. Graphically, it looks like this. We have the stock price, and the protection seller will pay a protection amount, given here, at the first hitting time of the level L, or at the default event. In this case, because the only way we can achieve default is by jump, because otherwise we will hit, it's a continuous process, otherwise we will hit the barrier L, it can occur only by a jump. Now, this observation makes that when L is equal to zero, what we are trying to say is that the EDS is, in our setup, equal to a CDS, okay? On exchange, the protection buyer makes periodic premium payments until maturity or until a credit event occurs, including accrued interest. And mathematically, what it means is we have to find the EDS rate that will balance out the present value of the protection payments with the present value of the premium payments plus accurate interest, where the current event time is the first time either it hits the barrier level L or the default time. So I have these terms given here, and I just want to show you some properties of these. Each of these terms can be separated into no jump to default or not hitting level, or a jump term or a deficient term, meaning that either the default can arrive by a jump or it can hit the level zero, the level L by diffusion. And we can solve this. We get some nasty solutions like this in terms of generalized hypergeometric functions. But what I want to show you is the effect of having a default intensity. Okay? We have a default intensity which has a constant default intensity plus a function of variance here. And I'm contrasting this to a CEV process. The first thing we can observe is that under the CEV, because it's a diffusion process, we will start at rate equal to zero, and we cannot achieve very high EDS rates. However, because we have a default intensity, we can achieve higher higher spreads under the JDCV process. And in fact, when we increase the sensitivity to variance, we are shifting the curves and changing the form. In fact, these are contracts. The first curve is by setting a barrier level equal to 50% of the stock price of inception. The second curve is at 30%, and the third curve is a CDS on our model. Once we increase the volatility, the sensitivity to volatility, the 30 and the CDS are almost one over the on top of the other, and the spread reduces between one or the other contract because it makes it very sensitive to default. Okay. The second thing is like, well, under the CEV we can achieve higher spreads. All we need to do is increase the volatility sigma. But what does happen when we have increased the volatility? Since it has to start at zero, it will create this this crazy behavior of having from zero to one day, from zero to a very short maturity, a huge hump that I don't think can be justified, like to have this huge jump in such a short period of time, instead of starting from a small period of time, from a higher level already. But anyway. So the advantages of an EDS over CDS is the transparency in which the CDS payoff is being triggered, because it's very easy to observe whether the stock price has crossed a barrier or hasn't. Using the stock price as a state variable, it allows us to obtain exposure to firms for which CDSs are not usually traded. EDSs closes the gap between equity and credit instruments, since they are structurally similar to credit default swaps. Okay? So far I have talked about jump to default extended diffusions, which evolve continuously and it accepts a single jump. And that jump is to default, the process is a skill at that time, and that's all it does. Right? Now what we are going to do is time change the type of processes in order to construct far-reaching extensions that will allow us to have jumps and stochastic volatility, and we do it by time changes. So the idea is this. We're going to start with a continuous Markov process with default intensity. We're going to use a Levy subordinator as a time change or an absolute continuous time change or both in a composite way, in order to obtain a jump diffusion process with the stochastic volatility and with default intensity. And our aim is to use to obtain analytical models for credit and equity. In order to do that, we use propose two methodologies. If the payoff is square integrable, is not square integrable, we use a general model, which is based on the Laplace transform. And if it is square integrable, we use the spectral expansion. Okay? So a time change process, y of t, is the composition of a process x, which is a background process, which is a jump to the default extended diffusion, in this case a JVCEV. And t is a random clock process, which is independent of x. A random clock is a non-decreasing right continuous with left limits process, which starts at zero, has a finite expectation, and in particular, we are interested in those with an analytical tractable Laplace transform. Examples of these, we have the Levy subordinators, which will allow us to induce jumps, absolute continuous time changes, which induce stochastic volatility, and the composite time changes, which allow us to have both effects. And this is an example, a graphical example of time change with a Levy subordinator. This is a very simple example. What we're going to do is time changes a simple Brownian motion with a random clock, which is equal to a calendar time. It reads a calendar time, and it receives shocks or advances in time with a composite Poisson process with exponential jumps. In this graph, I have the calendar time t versus the random clock t as a function of calendar time. In this other graph, I have the Brownian motion. And in the lower graph, I have the time change Brownian motion. Since I haven't observed any jump on the random clock, it's drifting at the same speed as the calendar time, so the time change Brownian motion is equal to the Brownian motion. At time point 2, I receive a jump. That jump shifts from point 2 to point 5. So what I'm going to do is let the original Brownian motion run for 0.3 units of time. And after it has finished, I will return to the time changed process and continue where it was left here. Then it will drift again with the calendar time until the next jump occurs. I do the same process, return after the jump. And if I do this continuously, what I'm generating is from a continuous process, obtain a jump diffusion process. Okay? Examples of Levy subordinators, we have the three-parameter Levy measure class, where y controls the small size jumps, eta defines the decay rate of larger jumps, and c changes the time scale of the process, okay, which allows to obtain a specific expectation of variance of our random clock. As we said, we're interested in those processes with a well-known Laplace transform, and this is very well-known, which is given by the Levy-Kinchin formula in closed form. Okay? Now let me talk about the other time change, which is the absolute continuous time change. This absolute continuous time change is a time integral of some positive function v of a Markov process, so it's this time integral, and we are interested in those for which we know the Laplace transform. Example of this is the CIR process, or the integrated CIR process, where the CIR process is a mean reverting process, and the Laplace transform is very familiar to all of you, which is nothing but the zero coupon bond formula for a CIR interest rate given by lambda times v of t. Let me do this simulation for the CIR. So I have the CIR process here. I have the random clock t versus calendar time t. And in order to facilitate the analysis, I have plotted here calendar time versus calendar time. Here I have my original Brownian motion. if I integrate the CIR process with time, what I obtain is the random clock, this blue line, and my time changed process runs in this blue, has the time given by this blue line, and it's here in blue. So what can we observe from here? Before point 15, the random clock was running below calendar time. So we can say that the Brownian motion, which is exactly the same path, was running slower from 0 to point 15. After that, the random clock increases, is above the calendar time, so I start speeding up the Brownian motion. So I'm observing the same path in a shorter period of time. Okay? And by this means, I can have stochastic volatility, which is basically the same idea as Heston. Okay? Composite time change will allow us to induce both Johnson and stochastic volatility. And there are two ways to induce this effect. Either adding up a Lewis over the Nadel plus an absolute continuous time change, or compositing, making the composite function. So T1 is a Lewis subordinator that instead of running on calendar time, it runs on an absolute continuous time change. The advantage of doing this is that it allows to induce stochastic volatility also to the jumps. And what we want to do is obtain closed form solutions for the Laplace transform of this composite time change. Since in here we're assuming that these two are independent, I can first condition with respect to T1 and obtain the Laplace transform, which is given by Levy-Kinchin. And this formula has a particular form that it has also a Laplace transform form, where the Laplace parameter is given by the Levy-Kinchin formula. So the Laplace transform of the composite time change is the Laplace transform of the absolute continuous time change with parameter given by the Levy-Kinchin exponent. So let me summarize what we have so far. We have jump to default extent diffusions that allow us to model defaults on contingent claims, and we have constructed a time change process for which we know the Laplace transform of the time change. So the natural question is, how do we put all of this together? How can I evaluate contingent claims on a time change process Y of T and also observe defaults? So this is very simple. Since X and T are independent, I can condition first with respect to the random clock. And this conditional expectation is nothing but a contingent claim written on only on the process X of T, but that now matures at the random clock T of T. So if I know how to solve this in a smart way, I can obtain closed form solutions for the time change process. So for that, we use two methodologies. We use the resolvent operator or the Laplace transform of the expectation or the spectral representation. So since we have some time, let me just quickly review it. So the resolvent operator is a Laplace transform of the expectation operator, even here. So what I'm claiming is that if we know how to obtain this resolvent operator, we can recover the expectation by the so-called Brownwich Laplace inversion. So which is basically this complex integral. And the key observation is that the time in this expression enters only through the exponential function. Now this methodology works only when f is not in the Hilbert space. Now when f is the infinitesimal generator is self-adjoint, for which all one-dimensional processes are self-adjoint, with respect to a speed measure m, and if f is square integrable with that measure, then we can use the spectral representation theorem to obtain the expectation in terms of eigenvalues, which are here, eigenfunctions, and the projection or the expansion coefficients. And again, the important feature here is the time enters only through the exponential function. I'm sorry? My what? Mm-hmm. It's not of a joint, which has drift, meaning H or mu. Well, this process is of a joint with respect to this speed measure. And I have the, if you want to see it, I have the, yeah, with respect to this speed measure. Because I can do the canonical representation. It's not self-adjoint with the Lebesgue measure, but once I have this speed measure, it is, and it's a, yeah. So I mean, I have details if you want. Okay. So you have the resolvent operator. Sorry, you have the expectation of this time change process, which we can solve either with the resolvent operator or the spectral expansion. And the whole thing works like this. So you condition with respect to the random clock. You obtain the solution of this conditional expectation, either by the resolvent or the spectral expansion. Under some integrability conditions, we can exchange the expectation, the outer expectation. And this expectation is nothing but the Laplace transform of the time change. So if we know how to solve this resolvent, do this complex integral, or how to obtain this spectral expansion, then we are obtaining closed form solutions, because we already know this Laplace transform in closed form. Okay? So after all this detour, let me come back to the defaultable stock or credit equity modeling. So our defaultable stock in this case will be equal to a jump to default extended diffusion x of t. In this case, I'm using the JDCD process that runs in a random clock t, which can be any of those three classes. In fact, there are more random clocks, but I don't want to talk about it here. we have compensation parameter in order to keep the discounted Martingale property. And it is equal to this process if default occurs after the current time t. And the default time is defined as follows. We have seen that the last time of the process x is the minimum between the first hitting to level 0 or the first jump time of a W stochastic Poisson process, right? So therefore, once we apply the time change, the default time is the first time our random clock exceeds the last time of the process x. Okay? At that moment, we will declare default, in order that if default occurs in the meantime when we are not observing, we're going to kill the process immediately after we return from the jump, for instance. Okay? At that point, the stock price drops to 0 and we declare bankruptcy. Under the JDCD specification, we know how to obtain this analytically. The survival probability is given by, first of all, was solved through the resolvent operator, and it's given in terms of the Comer confluent hypergeometric functions. Here you can put any Laplace transform you want for the random clock, so you can choose. Once you have the survival probability, you can have defaultable zero coupon bonds by substituting this Q there. The put option, again, has two terms, the defaultable part, which once you know the survival probability, you have this part. And this other part is given by, can be solved by the spectral expansion, which in fact is given by the generalized Laguerre polynomials in terms of the 2F2 generalized hypergeometric function. Okay? So, as a numerical example, I am using the JDCV with these parameters, an absolute continuous time change, which is with these parameters, an inverse Gaussian process, which zero drift. Okay? Having a zero drift is equivalent to have the time change process. You start with a continuous process, a diffusion process. Since you have no drift in your time change, once your time change, you have a pure diffusion process. Okay? And how do we observe this? Well, I have written explicitly what is the infinitesimal generator of the time change process using the Phillips theorem. And what do we observe here? The first term is the infinitesimal generator of your diffusion Markov process, in this case the JDCV process. This second term, which is the result of the Levy subordination, where pi is the Levy measure, the state-dependent Levy measure. So the jumps depend on where you are, and an additional killing rate. Okay? This killing rate is the probability of that once you're not observing that period of path which you're jumping ahead, that the default may have occurred. Okay? So it's the probability of from your state, your being at time x, going to your absorbent state, averaged by this Levy measure. And the third term comes from the CIR infinitesimal generator. So what can we observe here? That the diffusion part is being scaled by the stochastic volatility, and that the jump measure is also scaled by the stochastic volatility. Okay? So the stochastic volatility affects both terms. And in addition, the original diffusion Markov process has the drift of the time change multiplying the whole infinitesimal generator. So therefore, if V is constant, I mean, I don't have this, I eliminate the stochastic volatility, and if the Levy measure has zero drift, this part vanishes, so all I have is a pure jump process. Okay, now, for those who are more interested in computation, instead of solving this process, which is an integral differential equation with two dimensions here, numerically, all that I'm saying is that by solving it in a different way, we can get rid of those numerical computations of PDEs and integral differential equations, etc. Okay? So these are the kind of implied volatility we are obtaining by using those parameters. But more interesting is the crazy spreads and the default probability. This graph is difficult to read. These are the crazy spreads that increases as the stock price gets closer to zero. Okay? As the stock price drops, the likelihood of default increases because the default intensity is tied up to variance, and the variance is it's a negative power function of the stock price. So as it drops, it will increase volatility and it will increase the likelihood of default. So that we can also observe that on our default probability. So just to summarize, the stock price is a jump diffusion process with stochastic volatility and default intensity. The default intensity explicitly depends on the stock price and volatility. The leverage effect is introducing in that diffusion and in jumps components. As I explained, the stock price falls, the diffusion volatility increases, and the arrival rate of larger jumps increase. The stochastic volatility affects the diffusion and the Levy measure. This allows to have consistency with to hedge options and equity options and create derivatives. And we obtain analytical solutions. So thank you.